What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee, and this is The God Show. Let's go. And shout out to our sponsors. Shout out to Tote and Carrie. Shout out to Yoko Vaca. And shout out to Tulos. And shout out to you for watching. Keep liking, subscribing, sharing, commenting. That's me commenting back on YouTube. That's not somebody from the team. That's actually me, so be nice. Or let me be an asshole. It's either one. I'm just sure it's how you want to do it. But today we have a very special guest. This guy, I always tell him he's one of my idols. This is a guy I wanted to be like coming up. When you was coming up from Atlanta, when you was our age, when you was coming up, there was one name you heard. Obviously, everybody knew L.A. Reid. You knew it was Shakir, but they weren't from here. KP was a name that would come up because KP was Atlanta. So getting acknowledged by you meant a lot to me. I can tell you the day where I was at when you called me. But whole point is that he's here now. Let's clap for KP, Kawan Prather the Great. I'm going to be honest with y'all. He got like 5 or 6 jobs. Because you was one of the starters of Organized Noise.
I'm original member.
Original,
the
because
family, yeah.
They said that PA, y'all got on first.
We were the first group that got signed.
So he was KP was in a group called PA. He was a DJ.
I was, yeah.
You didn't rap at all?
I did one verse in our whole career. I did one verse. I think that's what got me kicked out of the group.
Yo, Troy, let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you another fact I'm going to say. On record, KP is the second coolest black man I've ever met in my life. Jay-Z is number one. And that's hard. That, right after Jay-Z is KP. Because he has the best responses to everything. You'll be like, the world crashing down with shit. I mean, you know, has it done that before? I mean, like nigga, we need to be running. I mean, you've always been the coolest nigga, man. Thanks for coming to the couch, bro.
Hey, man, appreciate you for having me.
So you was one of the original members of Organized Noise. Mm-hmm. Then you went on from that, and then L.A. Reid spotted you. And you
actually Pebbles.
Let's give Pebbles a credit.
Yeah. Pebbles was the person who was
Pebbles
like...
Pebbles is actually the secret sauce to how the face broke.
Straight up.
Nah. They don't say her name enough. I appreciate that.
No. She's the one who noticed everybody.
Yeah.
Like, she noticed what everybody was doing and was able to say, well, you know what you're doing is a job and this, that, and the other. Like, she basically, like, you're a producer. You're a writer. You're, you know, you could be a superstar. You're an executive. Like, you, like, the questions I used to ask her, she was like, you know what? Just come to the office. Come sit around here and just look.
Yeah. So she spotted you and made you an A&R.
Well, she told me what I was doing was A&R.
Got you. And what was your thought process to that?
Okay.
See what I'm saying, Troy? You know what I'm saying? They gonna give you one answer. I would have been like, yes!
But okay. I didn't know what it was.
I got you.
I didn't know what it was to be excited about. It was just like, okay, cool. And actually, I was less enthused by it because I thought the other people who I, with exception of Ian Burke, most of the people who I heard of with that title were corny to me.
See, I'm trying to tell you, I'll be paying attention. So you come in, you agree to, you reluctantly agree because you don't know what it is, and then
honestly, Rico Wade was the person who was like, no, you got to do it. Rest in peace, my brother, Rico. That's big bro. He was the one because when they came again, I told you, I thought it was, you know, no, I don't want to work in the record company because I heard record company people are shady.
Yeah.
All the stuff that I heard about the record companies and the people in them was bad.
Yeah.
So I was just like, not interested. Yeah. And Rico was like, nah, man, you got to do it because how are we going to find out what's going on? Mm. Like, we need to understand. Like, somebody got to know what the rules are.
Yeah.
And he was like, and if they already open and letting you in, go find out how this thing works.
You got to go in. So what was your first... As an A&R, what was your first task that they gave you or that you had ideas to do?
The very first thing
I did. Like, when you get there, like, what do you want
to
do?
Yeah, no, I mean, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I was still trying to figure out what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But what I figured out was I would walk around and just figure out things that I thought could be better or, you know, could be different, right? So yeah. It was this group we had on LaFace called A Few Good Men. And they had a ballad called Have I Ever. Yeah, Have I Ever. And it was written by Babyface in L.A., Daryl Simmons. And it was a great song,
yeah.
But it wasn't really moving.
Mm.
And L.A. was trying to figure out what was it about it. And I was like, well, they're young, but it don't feel young.
Yeah.
So I had been on the road, so I had met Thrill from 69 Boys, mm-hmm. Thrill the Player. And I asked them, would they do a remix to it? Because it was a ballad. And yeah. I was like, well, y'all do a bass remix. Let's turn it up.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did that, L.A. thought that was like, oh, my God, that was genius. Exactly. But in my head, it's some Atlanta shit.
It's just what we do.
Get with Jay shit, you know?
Yeah, yeah, can't get with Jay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just figured, like, my job was going to be to put what I thought was cool into it.
Yeah. So I want to go somewhere else and then come back because I want to ask you that. So when did you start establishing the skills where, because I always say, and maybe you might feel differently, I always say in order to be a successful A&R, you have to be objective. Because you use like I would be in the studio working with pop artists and they would be like, ask me questions. And I'd be like, man, I grew up listening to A-Ball and MJG. I don't know nothing. I understand records, but I didn't understand that. What was your, when did you start, or did you ever start adapting to the objective thoughts as an A&R, or did you always stay in it like, I'm gonna do what I like?
Well, I'm a DJ first.
Yes, I forgot.
So, my natural thoughts is pay attention to the room. Is it moving? Mm-hmm. Will this connect or does this connect? Who's it connect to? Like, where would I play this shit?
Yeah.
Like, that was always the thought. Where am I gonna play this shit at?
Who is it fit?
For? Yeah, like, who is it for? And, it was like, I think those questions I used to have all the time, Pebbles would kind of direct me into how that was, how you could apply that to this.
Yes.
Like, you know, it was basically common sense. It was my common sense.
Do you talk to Pebbles still?
Yeah.
I just want to tell her, I said hello. I mean, I'm not even, not even on bullshit. Like, when I was around L.A., so many things, stories he told led to Pebbles. Mm-hmm. Like, man, he was, and the thing I like about L.A., he was like, man, me and Babyface, we were some country niggas, like, first girl that we met that was like, nah, wear y'all clothes like this. This how y'all need to move. And she made them cool. That's why I want to just give her.
She understood cool. She was from the Bay. She was, she was from the Bay. Like, yeah. She was a player.
Bay,
like, So she understood what was real.
Yeah.
Like, it's the reason why when she came to Atlanta, she ended up at the hair salons where everybody, she ended
the
up.
The hot spots.
At the spots.
She didn't have
anybody
coming to the house or being at the office.
Eventually she did. Yeah. But when she got here, she knew to get out in the streets and figure out what's this thing. Because she knew it was black.
Yeah.
So she was like, okay, I need to see what this black is, because she's from Oakland, where it's a different version, you know?
I always say Oakland and Atlanta are teleportally connected or something, like telepathically connected. When you was working for LaFace and L.A. sold, he took you with him.
Yeah.
I heard he only took like 9 people with him, and then everybody else had to stay in Atlanta and figure it out.
Yeah, I think so. Well, you know what it is? I think ultimately what it was, he sold his company. It was going to take on a new job at a new place, and they already have people there, too.
Yeah.
So he took, I guess, his,
A-team.
His A-team. Okay, so yeah, so he absolutely asked me to come. It was weird because I didn't ever move to New York when we were at Arista.
Really? So you never lived in New York?
I never moved there then.
Oh, okay. Because when you worked at Sony, you was.
Yeah,
okay,
I moved
perfect.
A bit.
All right.
But what it was I felt like, I understood why he needed to be there, but I also understood that a lot of the sauce was being here and being aware and being around it, and being able to catch it before, right? And what I noticed about being in New York and LA, right? It's not so black culture specific. So we got a gift here in Atlanta that everything is about us. So we never feel lower or above any other culture. Like, it's just us. It's just, if you're here, you're here.
Yeah.
And it's something about that confidence and that freedom to create that I think gives us it's a cheat code. Because in New York, you're actually, a lot of people are creating to get on the radio or creating to get in the office.
Yeah.
It wasn't even a goal here yet.
Yeah, we just wanted to create to be cool from outside of town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, just didn't want to be lame.
Atlanta, and one thing Atlanta don't want to be and will never be is lame. We don't play that word. So what was the difference between New York? Because you, like, I've been in the music business for 20 years, and I've been in L.A. and New York. I never lived there. Mm-hmm. Like, what is the difference for you that you saw on the ground in those cities, like, how they saw the business?
Well, I think in L.A. and New York, they see the business as a power structure.
Yes.
And Atlanta, we see it as an opportunity.
I just love this nigga. That's really the difference. By the way, that mentality is why Atlanta wins.
Yeah, it's
because while everybody else is feeling entitled, like, I'm hot, why Flex ain't playing me? Or Philly fell in Atlanta, we don't give a fuck. We just want to go to the local place and make sure the niggas in our hood fuck with us. And that's enough for us.
It's enough. It's enough in our hearts. It's enough. But then what you realize is once you have that, people can't take that. Like, if a lot of people start and they like want to get on the radio. So they get a radio hit, they get a budget, they go spend some money, they get on the radio, right? That song goes away.
Mm-hmm.
Those people go away.
Mm.
But if you took that effort and that time or even whatever money you had and resources and put it into people like you and let them see that you appreciate them being appreciative of you, they stick with you. That's a fan base.
Yeah.
And you'll be here as long as you want to then.
Yeah.
Like, it's not based on somebody's it's not based on a regime. Mm. Like, so if the regime changed, now you're not hot.
Exactly.
You know, it really comes down to like getting with people.
Yeah, exactly. So when I gotta ask you a question. When you've seen an artist, mm-hmm. have you ever been wrong?
Hell yeah. I mean,
No. What I mean by that is like, because I was about to ask you about Tip. Okay. I was gonna ask you like, how was it meeting this young, arrogant, like, but I'm gonna run. Nope, probably ain't even on, but still like I'm on. And I was gonna ask you about that, but then I was thinking like, has he met other people like that he thought wasn't like, oh, he next, and then they didn't work?
Yeah, I mean, listen, like, this shit ain't easy, first of all. Mm-hmm. And talent doesn't guarantee, talent or swag doesn't guarantee success.
Yeah.
So it's like, the difference in Tip and most artists, Tip works. Like, matter of fact, he outworks everybody. Like, he 1,000% outworks me. Mm. So it's like, it's easy to get behind somebody to help support them when they're doing it. It's like 401k. Like, if you put in, I'm going to put in.
Yeah.
Like, so you know, I'm like, exactly. 401k piece.
That's how we get to the end. Like, you got to match mine.
Yeah. And the thing is, I'll use my, I'm all this stuff is, especially on the executive side, is relationships and resources, right? Mm-hmm. So if I'm going to lend my resources, my relationships and my credibility to you, I gotta believe that you're gonna do something with it.
Exactly. So, but what I'm saying is, so when you meet Tip, mm-hmm. and you sign him to Ghetto Vision, mm-hmm. and then obviously you had something, but the hard part was that you were an employee of the company of Arista, mm-hmm. but you also had your own label. And mm-hmm. people don't talk enough about how the label tends to make you pick. Like, the label kind of set you up.
Like who
your loyalty to. Is it to your label or is it to the bigger mothership? You got hit with that situation.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, listen, I'm working on Outkast, Goody Mob, Usher, Pink. Fuck. I'm working on most of the things on a label, yeah. basically. Like, yeah. And I got my label because I had got interest from another label to come.
That's how it always goes.
Yeah, because we had our group PA at that time was signed to DreamWorks. Mm. So...
And then Rico have a deal with Dream. Yeah, Rico did a deal with DreamWorks. Then
they did later. Noise? I think they did
later though. Later on,
they did a song deal.
Gotcha.
But we had an artist deal.
Gotcha.
So we had our deal over there, and as we started doing business, they were like, "Okay, B, you get it. You know, almost like you kind of smart for a black guy." And they were like, "You know, man, you know a lot. Why don't you come over here?" Because they were new and they had all this money.
Yeah.
And they were like, you know. They started hitting me with numbers.
Yes.
And the numbers were different than the numbers I was seeing at home.
It was grown man numbers now. Yeah, I was like, y'all see me as a man. Oh yeah, shit. Yeah. yeah.
So no, for real. So I went home, I went back, and they gave me the benefits package. I remember coming to the office one day and going to LA like, "Hey man, listen, I got a kid now, you know what I'm saying? It's like, look at this."
Yeah.
Like I'm looking at him,
you still,
like,
you still treating him like a father figure. Like,
I mean, he's my mentor. Like, and plus I'm not a fuck nigga, so I'm not going,
yeah,
you know, like, I gotta have a conversation. I'm not, it's just how I'm built.
Yeah, for
so
sure.
I'm like, because on top of that, I don't want to go there because I think they're better. It's not like I want to be at DreamWorks. I was at LaFace.
Yeah.
So I was like, "Hey man, they almost gave me some I can't let
say
go."
No, yeah.
And, you know, he was like, "Yeah, I can't do that." And then he explained to me production company versus label and the fact that LaFace basically was still a production company signed to a major label. He was like, "I don't have it to give. I can't do that."
Yeah.
You're talking about Steven Spielberg, David Geffen, Sonnenberg.
Yeah, Jeff Katzenberg,
like, yeah. Yeah, Jeff Katzenberg. It's like, bro, like, if that's what it is, you got to go. But how about this? And then he hit me with, "How about I give you your own situation where you have your opportunity to grow you?" Mm. And I was like, "Oh, I'm down with that. Like, exactly. You bet on me." He was like, you know, because I had just signed Youngbloods.
Yep.
And
to LaFace. So LaFace. Youngbloods, okay, perfect.
They were signed to LaFace. And he was like, because realistically, the stuff you really, really like ain't necessarily LaFace.
Mm, yeah.
And he was like, "So you can get Youngbloods back and, you know, and whatever."
Oh, he
else.
Gave you Youngbloods?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fire.
Yeah. So, you know.
It worked.
It worked. So I was like, this is better because... what I understood, if I went to DreamWorks, I would have to teach them as I go.
Yeah.
And that was going to take up more time. And I wasn't going to be... what made it dope in Atlanta was I didn't have to explain as much. It was black people. It was... you were in the city. So if I said it, you could look at it and understand.
Yeah.
If I got to go out here with these people who have no clue about culture, then I got to explain every idea.
Every stop.
And it's like, okay, by the time you do that, you've stagnated the growth of the thing you were excited about.
Yeah.
So I was just like, nah, it didn't make sense to me.
So I'm only asking if you could, if you looking back at that, because mm-hmm. to be honest with you, back then, and I think most people had a scenario, they make the choice you made. Like, because in our business, there is a, as much as they don't talk about this, we know that there's a percentage mm-hmm. game. We know that it's like, look, we signed 10 things and we're in there asking behind closed doors, which two do you think out of the 10 is gonna really go?
Yeah.
Like, we're not thinking like all 10 are gonna go, no. even though all 10 you left want. All 10 left our office thinking
that they're all next. 10, all 10 know that they have interest now.
Yep.
And they're like, and if it, depending on how smart they are,
yep.
they know that, again, it's an opportunity as opposed to an entitled chance. Like, yes. you don't, you're not going to make it just because you got a deal.
Yes.
It just means you got somebody's attention.
Yeah. So when you, when Tip starts popping off, you obviously was the label he was signed to, which means you probably could have said, let's go to another label if you wanted to. Mm-hmm. But you chose to stay with Arista. You stayed loyal to your home base that you was with.
Not the same. That's not the same period.
Okay.
So Tip. Because actually what happened was with Tip, we once I recognized that it just wasn't going to be what I thought, and some other shit happened, but I ended up resigning at LaVace. And
really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I left. A matter of fact, I'll tell the story. It's actually cool. So I was mastering the Outkast, like Big Boy and Andre Presents.
You told me this story once, but I want to hear it now. I'll tell everybody. You told me this story. Yes. So
someone called me and was like, yo, the guys want A&R credit on the album. I was like, cool, that's dope. I mean, shit, who cares, right? But then they were like, but how about if you not the A&R?
Yeah.
And I was like, I mean, that's cool too. All right, so I'm about to leave where I'm at. Yeah. I'm headed back over to the office. I walk back over, go talk to LA. And I was like, what I recognized was we had all grown to a point where we were kind of cannibalizing each other's growth.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, Big Boy has a label now.
Yeah.
So he is an executive. He is, you know, he's entitled to what it is he wants. But I recognized none of this was mine.
Yeah.
Mm. So I was like, oh, okay, so cool. I went back. I asked LA to let me dip. He was like, nah, matter of fact, let me fire you so at least you can get a check.
Yep. Shout out to LA for that.
One time for LA. And I left out of the office that day, called my lawyer. My lawyer called me and was like, yo, I got a meeting for you set up around the corner at Sony.
Yes.
You mind just walking around? I was like, I did. So I went around, had this meeting, and it was, and you know, it was cool.
Was it Donny Einer?
No, the first person I met was Mark Jordan, who is now like Rihanna's manager, Jasmine Sullivan.
Yeah, he also manages Becky G too. I think he's still Becky. Yeah, yeah.
Dope, like super smart dude. But at the time, I wasn't planning on leaving LaFace, so I didn't have shit. Like I didn't have resumes and none of that. So he
you
was
just
like,
got yourself like,
yeah. He was like, yo, can you send me a resume? I was like, yeah, nah. Oh, yeah, sure. So what I did was I called Regina, who was in Atlanta.
Shout out to Regina.
I asked her. I was like, can you put all the CDs I worked on, put them in a case, like a case logic case, send it to me in New York. She sent it. I got in the hotel the next morning. I got a piece of paper from the hotel, wrote resume on it, and carried it over to Sony.
With the CDs?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because I was you want to read shit.
What nigga's cool enough to pull that off? I'm trying to tell y'all. Go ahead.
but I was like, you want to see what I do? This is what I've done.
Yeah.
You know, and you can listen to it and read if you want to.
Yeah.
That was my thought process, you know. But also, it's because I didn't have no fucking resume.
Mm.
So, but Donny Einer thought that shit was cool as fuck, and he hired me.
And that's when you became.
And that's when I left Arista. And so what I had to do was, in leaving Arista, I had to let go of the things that were signed to my label.
Really?
Yeah. So Tip, I had a conversation with Tip. I was like, listen, man, like I got to figure this place out. LA still wants to fuck with you. See how it goes. You know, worst case scenario, we'll get you
out. Come over here where I'm at. Yeah.
So, you know, again, things didn't really work out between them because they weren't really tight like that. They didn't know each other. So LA eventually, I had a conversation with LA. LA let him go. We had a meeting at Sony around the little flip time too.
Yeah.
So I remember Donnie asked Tip, so what you think of a little flip? He's like, not much. and Donnie was like, yeah.
Too arrogant for me.
Yeah, he's too much. But what he did was let me put a deal on the table.
Mm.
So that helped.
Yes.
To get, you know.
To help them get that better deal from Atlantic.
Yeah.
So did you ever, now we look back at it, would you have done everything the same?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, because honestly, you don't know if Tip is going to end up being Tip. Like, it's like.
Well, you know what it is? I knew that I didn't want to see him held up and tied up and shit.
That's real nigga stuff, by the way. In the music business, there's not enough real nigga stuff happening. And every time you say it, I'm going to say real nigga shit. RNS, I'm just telling you. Because y'all could have, you could have held him back. LA could have held you back. There were, everybody had guns to each other's head, basically. Like you said, cannibalize each other. Everybody could have killed everybody. And everybody was like, you know what?
Yeah.
Cool. Y'all go get y'all money, I get our money. And they want to be successful.
But I think that's mutual respect amongst people you know who do work. So it's like, you know you're going to see these people again, right?
Yeah.
Like, you could be the person that, you could be the person that thought you was in power. Because what I recognize more than anything is nobody's in power.
Nobody.
Like, it's
false.
It's influence, and you may have some relationships, but power, that's weird. Because I can, if you say no, I can go over here and do something else.
Yeah, that's real. Yeah. That's real. So you, when you was at Columbia, you signed, by the way, I still think this nigga's hot. Ray Cash, bumping my music. What happened with Ray Cash, man?
Ray, as talented as Ray was, I think that he came up in an era where people started talking about what their business was, and people started believing all this shit that was, you know, what you're supposed to get and what, you know, once you do this, you're this.
Yeah.
I think he just, he didn't work as hard. He didn't do, well, let me say this. He didn't work as hard at the things that were hard to do. Like, he wasn't a get on the road guy. He wasn't a, like, Tip, like, in comparison, and not to compare him as artists, but in comparison to the work, right? I called Tip one day when I was at Sony to do the meeting. He was in Florida doing a show. I said, yo, man, can you come up and have a meeting, me and Donnie? He was like, shit, when? Day after tomorrow. I'll get you a ticket. He was like, no, we in Florida. I drive up. I was like, okay, cool. So he drove up, like, from Florida
to New York,
right? And we had this meeting, and after the meeting, I was like, what's up? He's like, I got to go back to Miami. I got another show tonight. Got back in the van.
What?
And drove back to Miami and went and did his, and went to work. So it's like.
Mentality.
The mentality of, it's almost like, it's trapped mentality. It's like, it's money to be got. I got to go get it.
Exactly.
And it's not a, you know, and somebody, if I don't go get it, somebody else will. So it's, I think Ray's, he didn't have the same understanding that Tip had.
Yeah, even now, Tip's still one of the hardest working niggas in the got clubs. He's doing comedy, doing shows.
Like, I manage him. It's the it's the hardest thing in the world.
Yeah, because he's all, it's upset. He does it all. And and by the way, he wants to.
Yeah.
And he believes he can.
No, so. He calls me, like, what I'll say is, Tip calls me to tell me what he wants to do. I don't have to, he's not the person I got to call and be like, yo.
What we doing? I love that. Yeah. So, there's somebody, when you go to Columbia, you were head of black music. Okay.
Well, when I first got there, I was senior VP of A&R.
Okay. So who, at what title did you sign John Legend?
When I was the EVP.
Because a lot of people don't talk about, like, we give you LaFace, but we don't talk about John Legend. You know what I'm saying? We don't talk about all the shit you did when you was at Columbia. Like, you was like, I'm telling you, like, you was putting in the work. And the crazy part is that you don't seem to give a fuck. Like, you don't give a fuck. It's like, okay, and like, it's like, next.
Because it's the job.
I know why. You know, I know why you act the way you act.
Why?
Jimmy Iovine has a famous saying. He says, if you want to be successful in life, be like the DJ. You ever heard him say that?
I haven't, but
okay. So he speaks about the DJ. He says, while the crowd is partying, the DJ already knows what's coming. And they know what's coming next, and they're playing this song to get them to that song. So the DJ already is ahead of it. So Jimmy is like, you got to think like a DJ. Don't stay in the room too long. You got to think. So as I'm talking, I'm like, you're a DJ, and nobody gets bored with music faster than y'all because y'all know what's coming. Meanwhile, we enjoying what's happening, but y'all like, it's about to go up in three more notches in this second. So
And that moment that when it's hot happened for me a couple of months ago when I heard it. And was like, how do I get this in a set?
Yeah.
When do I play this so that people hear it?
Yeah.
So they hear it right.
That's what I'm saying. So I think the DJ part of you was able to do it. And not only that, like, I just think that that's why. Because, like, you've been, the one thing I can say about you that I give you credit for, and I think I always tell you this, because that's why you have gray hair everywhere, like some peers, right? Is because you just kind of went with what you wanted to go with. It was like, Pharrell's my nigga, I'm gonna run Pharrell shit. Oh, you want me? I'll do that. You want me to do what? I don't want to do that. But KP is all the power in the world. Yeah, it's a lot of responsibility though. I like
it. But it's fake power and fake responsibility.
Exactly. That's true. But you got to be in there to know that.
Like I had a conversation probably in the last year, right?
About going inside?
Mm-hmm. And I was just like, and the conversation was, okay, do I have the ability or the autonomy to make decisions that can make things go? Can I get my own business affairs person?
Yes.
And they were like, ooh. And I'm hold like, up. Well, huh?
And I say, hold up, nigga. Hold up, nigga. Hey, you.
And when I saw the face, I was like, okay, well, if that doesn't sound right, then it just don't sound right.
Yeah. But because I heard a rumor. I heard that rumor. It told me it was a fact. You know what I'm talking about, right? Like the round building. That's all I'm going to say. They said it was a fact that you took over. And I was like, why would he do that? Why would he do that? Like, this nigga is, like, don't go, like, by the way, if you paying attention to this, if you a cool nigga, don't go work in the building. Hit me out.
Okay, I'm listening.
They're leveraging your cool. You don't know that. Because mm-hmm. If you a cool nigga, you don't know the power of cool. Okay. You don't know the value of cool.
Okay.
But if you a cool nigga, you shouldn't work in the building because they're going to make you doubt everything about yourself. They're going to make you doubt your taste. They're going to make you doubt your plans. They're going to make you doubt everything to the point where you're going to be like, well, shit. What the fuck? Y'all tell me what to do now.
Well, you know what's funny? That never happened to me. I always just thought that, okay, you don't fuck with what I'm fucking with. Like, and
it
I understand it's all taste. Mm-hmm. It's all depending on what information you got, depending on where you grew up. It's so many different things that go into people's decisions about what they like.
Yeah.
And what they're willing to support.
Exactly.
So I just don't take it personal. I don't take other people's opinion personal.
Me neither. Objective. It's theirs. Like, that's your opinion.
Yeah.
By the way, music is the most subjective thing that we do. It's like, bro, I could like it, he could hate it. Mm-hmm. That's why I always say, if the A&R likes it and he believes, I think A&R should get four a year.
That they could get off.
Three is for the label, one is for them.
Mm-hmm.
The one for them has to be cheap, though. The one for them has to be $100,000 to $150,000, because that's yours, right? Mm-hmm. But the other three you should get.
But if you do that, then the upside on the other end got to be bigger.
It does. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm like. On the other end is that. But my thing is that you because how many, dog, I work at labels and I only want to work for a label to figure out this part is that they don't know.
Yeah.
If they knew, they would run the world. They don't know. That's why they kind of let you in there. So your job is to know. And that's what LA taught me. Like, fight for it. Like, it'd be times I try to sign some. He'd be like, I'm going to leave. And I'm like, all right. And then I'll walk out the room and he'll be like, you ain't going to even fight for it? And I'm like, I can fight for it. He's like, nigga, this is the business. We fight every day. So yeah. I fought for it. He still said no.
Yeah. I mean, but it's learning your fight.
But it was learn to fight. I remember one time we was in a room, and I'll say this publicly. We was in a room, and I was trying to sign this girl group. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I learned so much from him, but I was trying to sign this girl group that Jen had.
Mm-hmm.
Usher's wife, Jen had. Okay. Girl group. And I was trying to sign them. And, you know, the room was like, like, and I'm like, nah, but they fire. And I'm like, you know, this is my KP. I'm like on top of the chair, like, nah.
Yeah, your best
and he's like,
daddy.
Yeah, he was like, yes. Nigga. He no, was like, yeah. Nah. And he was like, and I was like, and I'll never forget what I said. I said, they better than TLC.
Ooh.
That nigga stops the whole room. But by the way, they weren't.
Clear.
But you understand as an A&R. But you understand as an A&R.
Yeah, you were like, what I got?
You kind of got, like, they sold 10 million records. And he was like, nigga, don't you ever say that. And then he was like, sit down. I'm in the room. Like, sit down. All the employees in the room. He was like, have you ever heard someone voice like T-Boz? I was like, nah. He was like, that's why it works, nigga. It works because she's different. They're not different. It's not unique about them, unless you could tell me something unique. And I was like, pass.
Yeah.
Pass. That's what I'm saying. But I like, yeah. So that's why I love this shit, because I wanted to just learn that we didn't know Megan Trainor was going to be as big as she was when we signed her. Like, we was like, she was just another one of the, we signed. And we knew we would have focused on her. And I remember when I worked at Epic, the artist that he was pushing, shout out to LA, this is how he started liking me. Because he hired me because I was stalking him.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, nigga, come on, fuck it.
Yeah.
This is what made him start liking me. We in the room, and I'm an Atlanta nigga. Atlanta nigga, you can't tell nothing about some chicks. We think chicks love us when we open our mouth. We just think it's different. So we in the room, he playing the artist he's pushing. He's playing him. He's like, this dude is going to be the biggest. And everybody in the room was like, hell yeah. And I was like, I still get more bitches than him. I said under my breath, like, you know, Troy, I don't know. What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. the Culture Referee. And if you were wondering who this beautiful woman sitting next to me is my sister, Tiffany Daniels-Sai. Let's give it up for my sister. Everybody can clap. This is good. And my sister is, she's the most talented person in the family, and we started a family business, a signature scent company. So if you like smoke a lot of weed in your car and you want to get the scent out, you have to check out these scents. I know guys that use it for the weed. I know people that use it for cologne and everywhere they go to get compliments. We make candles. We make
room sprays. We got them in kits. So if you want to buy something for your loved one or anybody, you know, that you care about, hit us up, LorraineCo.com.
And we're going to put the website at the bottom of it. But support this black business, support this black woman, and order, I promise you guys. And matter of fact, use the word gods, and we'll give you 15% off. I just made that up, so if my sister face looks crazy, don't get mad at her. I'll eat that. But guys, when I tell you this shit is incredible, you really should check this out.
The best scents ever.
LorraineCo.com. And we'll put it at the bottom of the screen. Thank you.
Thanks.
What I'm saying, I'm just saying in my breath. LA said, hold on. I was already, he said, who said that? What you say? I said, what? He said, what you say? I said, I get more bitches than him. He just bust out laughing. He said, I like you. He said, I like you because you don't know what the fuck you're talking about, but I like that you're not afraid to talk.
I like that you feel like
he
that.
He said, you don't understand what Prince was when Prince was who he was. You don't understand that. I do, trust me. And then when the shit didn't work, he was like, oh, y'all motherfucker, you know how he is. Oh, yeah, y'all motherfucker was bobbing y'all head. Uh-huh. The only person that told me something real was Ray. Yeah.
I was like, sound like Denzel, you motherfuckers
again. You motherfuckers. So I want to ask you this, man. You seem to pivot flawlessly. Like
DJ shit, transition.
I'm going to say, dog, you literally just said you managed tip, and it wasn't even like loud. It was like, yeah, man's tip, you know, like. Like, nigga, you literally don't, I guess, understand the power and influence of what you are saying and what you are doing. So when you say that, I'm just like, this nigga just brushed this off. Like, this ain't nothing, nigga. If I manage tip, nigga, I'll have a shirt on everywhere I go. It'll say, I manage tip. You know what I'm trying to say? But you're just like, nah, it's just a job.
I mean, because at any moment, if tip decides, I cannot manage tip.
That's the real part they don't understand. But what I was speaking of, but my point about you pivoting is that you always pivoted with a smile. And I feel like I don't even think you know this, but you're a blueprint for us.
All right.
Yeah, let me tell you why. Because what they don't tell us, for all these people that want to be in the music business in their 20s, their teens, they like, I want to be in this shit. What they don't tell you is that one day you're going to be in your 30s. And one day you're gonna be in your 40s, and they're gonna be 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds, and they're just like you was, and eventually you kind of just get faded out because you ain't got.
And they're gonna be new, like they're gonna be ahead. Like,
subjective. They know what cool is. They know what the culture.
It's a different cool.
Yep.
Like the cool grows and it like
cool changes,
hopefully it matures. You know what I mean? Like, and what's cool for my son can't like what's new for my son, or new for me can't be new for my son.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's like. It's just not the same. He's in a different circle. He's doing different shit every day. Like, he's on a grind. So his mentality, the everything that they're doing is different. It's 30 years different.
Yes.
And you got to appreciate and respect it. Because I'm able to just be clear that at one point I was the 20-year-old. And my shit probably did sound stupid to you. But if you let me get this off.
It works.
It works out.
Because I'm them.
Yeah.
You're not them. You see it. You've seen it before. Mm-hmm. I see it happening. Mm-hmm. You can't see it happening from the inside. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. So like you get to this place where it's like, I left my last job. I'm like, what do I want to do? Because I don't think I want to work for somebody again because you, nigga, you don't even know. You told me and you and Jeff and Shaka and Daryl Jones was in the Def Jam office one day. We was arguing about something and you, it might've been the studio, it was someone, but you was the first person to ever tell me, you said, Ray, you're not gonna be successful on the inside. You need to stop. You remember that? And you was like, and I was like, but he was like, oh, listen, I hear you. I feel the passion, but they don't like that in there. You're not gonna win in there, bro. You gotta get away from that. So you get to this place where I'm like, what I wanna do? Obviously you see one of my pivots right here. I'm sitting there talking to you, but You watching you go from Kawan KP Prather, the A&R on 8701 album, the A&R on this album, that album, all those things, to becoming KP the Great. And meanwhile, Kawan Prather was still eating. Like the executive was still eating because you was still doing Pharrell. A lot of shit you was doing. Mm-hmm. How the fuck do you do all of that, man?
Because that's what I would do anyway. Like what you said earlier is, I'm going to talk to Pharrell anyway.
Yeah.
So if we're talking about shit that helps both of us, why not make that something that's lucrative for both of us?
Mm.
Right? Like, why not be able to win with your people?
That's all we want to do.
Right. And, you know, again, everybody I work with, I kind of is like...
friends.
I would fuck with them anyway. It ain't, you know, it ain't really that deep. Like, yeah, I guess that's it. It's like, I don't put more on it than it is.
Would you ever go back in?
It would depend on the situation. Like if...
What would have to be the situation?
It would have to be in a situation where I could maintain defense for the people under me.
Mm.
Actually, defense and offense. Like, if I'm in a position where I can call plays, and when I recognize that somebody's moving better, put them in play.
Yeah.
Like, it seems impossible. It seems so imaginary.
I'm listening to you.
Just such an imaginary thing. Other than
driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
Doing your, like, you just have to do your own shit. Like, I'm just in a place where I like doing things that I like.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard for me to accept somebody telling me that I need to listen to them if I don't believe that they know better.
Yeah, but not only that, what they don't talk about enough is that everybody that has the jobs are appointed.
Yeah, like titles are given, experience is earned.
That's what I'm saying. So they're given the jobs, and that usually is through the eye of one person, maybe two, but it's usually like, this guy wants to hire him. I don't give a fuck how the world feels. I want that to be my person. I'm going to have to pick somebody, and that's what I want. There's always, you know, there's no autonomy in the position, bro. Like, I didn't want to work. I can't work at a company again because I don't want people to think I have something that I don't. Because I'm a tell the truth.
Yeah.
The one person I let,
I sent the nigga out my office before. Like, because I was like, this ain't the place for you. This is going to slow your roll. Like, Jeezy.
Yeah.
Like, Jazzy and Jeezy came to meet with me at Sony the day they went to meet with
LA.
Shakira in LA.
Mm.
And, you know, they were just like, yeah, KB, you know, they got this, then. And I was like, but I knew what was going on. I understood the movement. I understood, like, you need space to do that. You need, just get your check and go and come back when you need, you know, this other help.
Yeah.
I was like, yo, man, this place will fuck you up. It'll stop everything you're doing. Please go talk to Shakira now.
You've made it way higher than I have. Why is it so difficult? Like, in the system, like, I don't get that. Like, it's like, if I hire you, KP, I'm like, run the show, bro. It's you got it. Like, why? Like, cause like, to, okay. So my interpretation is,
I'm sorry.
My interpretation is that you have these labels are filled with people who want to keep their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And they play keep away and they play defense because they have to control the outcome of everything in their selective department. Because if they don't let KP hire an outside PR person and that person puts up more wins than the inside people. That mm-hmm. them inside people are gone.
Yeah, but the problem is it shouldn't be, everything shouldn't be so dependent on the one thing you did, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, as a producer, right? If I come to you as a producer and say, hey, I need a record, and you go and get Metro, Southside, fucking Tehran, like, you get all these people and y'all put it together, right? I'm gonna appreciate you went and did the job. You went and produced a product, right?
Yes.
But then you got these other people who, like, they don't want to pay you what it costs you to go do this for your effort, right? They'd rather pay the dude who they think did the beat, and they try to go around it, right? And they try to get past the one thing that you thought that made it specifically that.
Mm.
And they think that everybody can do this shit. First of all, A&R is such a, like, and I think I said this somewhere, but it's so vague because there's so many different brands of A&R.
Yep.
It's the music person. It's the numbers person.
It's the connection, connector.
It's the, you know, the, what do you call it? The socialite. It's all these different kinds and they all are valuable.
Mm-hmm.
But the person who can see all of them should be the person who kind of is
in charge.
In charge.
I agree.
Like, some people want the most popping person to be in charge. that's kind of like most of the time that's a mistake, because to be popping, you really not caring about other things other than being popping.
Other than that nigga.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm in my wanna be popping season, because I don't really care about a lot of shit. Pop besides what, shit, I wanna, bro, like, what I want to do. I ain't going to lie. Like, because to be honest, because what KP is speaking of, and by the way, this is everybody. When you are behind the scenes, I don't give a fuck if you are the label. Mm-hmm. I don't give a fuck if you are the A&R, nothing is in your control. You have no control of the end, because that artist can get rid of you. Look what happened with my man, the Carl Crawford. You don't think Carl was like putting all his money up thinking, man, we finally got Megan there, and then not right now, nigga. Her mind just changed. She ran into somebody else. We're the only business where our product is outside talking to someone right now.
Yeah.
And that person can say something that, and they believe it, which can change and fuck up our entire life.
Listen, you like your parents different on different days, because somebody said yeah to some shit and somebody said no to some shit. So you talking about people, bro. Like, if you go out, if I have a conversation with somebody and tell them that's not a great idea, the strategy isn't, it doesn't make the most sense, we could do this different or better or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And then the next moment they go speak to somebody who else, man, if it was me, I would.
Yep.
Man, if I was with
you. He let you do what?
Man, ain't no way. Man, what I would have did was, and it's like, yeah.
Hell yeah.
And again, it's like,
now they calling you like, KP,
tell me,
why
something.
Am I not in space right now?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Man, I just talked to a nigga that told me I should be in space.
Like, but you remember that day I told you, hey man, this is astronaut nigga I want you to meet, and you said, fuck him?
That's so what it is. So it's something else that, it's one other thing that I skipped over that you also did, another pivot that he did, Troy, that we don't talk about, that he slid, one big and act like it didn't happen. But you wrote one of the best hooks in hip hop history. To me, it's one of the best rappers in hip hop history. And you also won a Grammy for that record. Mm-hmm. I don't know if y'all know, it's We Gonna Be All Right, Kendrick. We Gonna Be All Right. What kind of Negro shit came into you for you to write that? Like, what was it? Like, that's some real, like, that shit feel like some Negro spiritual, but it's dope, but it felt like our ancestors wrote that.
So, obviously, Pharrell produced it, right?
Okay.
So, it starts at that. So, I'm in a room with somebody who's super special, doing some super special shit.
Yep.
And he got stuck somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And was like, what you think? And I that's what I thought.
Did you know it was going to be a Grammy when it hit?
No.
You didn't think it was going to be a hit when you made it? That's one of the instant ones for me. When I heard it, I was like, oh, yeah, he's out of here.
Nah, like, because it wasn't even for Kendrick.
Really?
Nah, it was for somebody totally different. And it would have been a totally different song.
Who was it for? You want to say right
not
now?
My business. Like, but what it is that part was really, it was just simple based on what Pharrell was doing. It was, you know how people are doing something and you think you know what they're about to say next?
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened to me.
Mm.
Like, I thought this would... And
you thought that's where he was going, and you was like, I thought you was going here.
Yeah.
Mm.
And he was like, nah, but fuck it.
Nigga, that line, that shit just feel like, if God got us, then we going.
But it's my real feelings too, though. Like, it's not like, so if you ask all this other shit, that's the culmination of all of it. So it's almost like the Grammy to me is just like the blue check on some, you right, KP, I got you.
Mm.
Like, it wasn't something I set out to do. It wasn't, my career has been based on me. If I see there's a space where someone needs help,
mm-hmm.
or if I can contribute, I do.
Exactly. Period.
That's it. That's the whole job.
Yeah. The whole. If you need music to play, I do that. If you need somebody to manage, I could do that. If you need somebody to write a hook, I could do all of those things.
Like, I pass out a flyer. Like, listen, it ain't. There's no work that's too small if you're doing it with people who you trust want to be bigger than that thing.
What Killer Mike saying is if everybody does a little bit, no one has to do a lot.
Yeah,
if everybody do a little, nobody has to do a lot.
And again, it started this way. I'm from the Dungeon family, so it's all collaborative.
Did y'all know that y'all was legendary? Like, did you know in there that this gonna be some legend?
No, nigga, not in a dirt basement, smoking weed, listening to beats. Like, with the most everybody's equipment, like, it's like nothing about it was legendary. It was the most, it was necessary, it was necessity based.
Yeah,
like, everything about it was just working out of necessity to make sure we all get straight.
I just wish that I was old enough back then, because you heard about, I was like 13, 14, but you heard about the dungeon. It was like everybody talked about the dungeon, felt like y'all were like mythical figures. And like, I went to school with a kid named Brandon Prather. Mm-hmm, and okay. Everybody thought he was your brother because, yeah, like it was like, dog, I think I met you. That's how I try to be cool with you. I was like, yo, what's up? Yo, I'm cool with your brother, Brandon Prather. And you was like, I ain't got them brother named Brandon. You know, I didn't even do no research. I just assumed y'all was related because y'all from the South. Y'all from College Park, East Point. We all the same area. So I just was like, do these niggas know how legendary? Because I went to school. I don't know if you know these girls, the twins, Shava. You remember Shava? I think Shava dated like somebody in the crew. I went to high school with Shava.
Okay.
So I went to high school with her. So, you know, those were kids that you knew were like doing bigger shit than just Banneker high school shit. Like, nigga, me and my friends was going to Gabby Road and playing basketball. Like, you knew she was going
to
somewhere.
The studio.
It's like her and her sister Kia. I think Kaya.
Yes.
Exactly.
They were in Sidekick.
So, yeah, exactly. So you talked about the dungeon so much, but I was like, do these niggas know how legendary it is, man? Like, nigga, deep off in the dungeon. Like, it was like,
for these many months?
What?
No, because it was just people rapping, talking about what was happening for real. Like, it's amazing to me.
So you never heard. So you never was in a room like obviously I managed Teron. You know, Teron has written some records where I was like, you did that? Like, have you ever was in a room? Like, I'm just imagining being there when Andre lays his verse on Thought Process, or when Andre lays his verse on when he says, Elevators. I came into this world high as a bird. Nigga, you was there, nigga. Like, I would have been asking a million questions. Like, what were you thinking? Where you get that shit from?
Nah, because it happened. Something happened that day. Like, it's almost like it's things I can remember what was going on that day that started that, right? Mm. So it's like, because this is a verse on, like, it's a verse on the Southern Playlistic album on Deep. And,
yeah.
And he says, so my DJ name used to be K-X.
Yes.
Because I cut. Anyway, so it's a line, you know, slamming backs like K-X over organized tracks. And what happened that earlier, or the night before, me and Big Boy and Reese, we were at Waffle House on Old National. Somebody comes in drunk. It's girls in there with us. As a matter of fact, Dee Dee, who's Peaches.
Yep.
And somebody else was with us. And the dude comes in, man, fuck them bitch ass niggas over there. But we were over there.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I turned around because my back was to the door. Yeah. Big Boy was looking. And I'm like, and the nigga said, what? And I was like, man, chill out. So it escalated. Fast forward, he's shaking on the ground. And Big Boy like, he should have just shut the fuck up.
Exactly.
Like, so, but Big Boy went back to the dungeon, had this conversation. The next day, when I get back to the studio, he's laid this verse. Like, like, you know what I mean?
Like, you know, nigga, you know what it's about.
Yeah. But it just had happened. Yeah. So it was like, it went into context of what he was thinking about anyway, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, every crumbling herb was kind of just that. You know what I mean? It wasn't.
Nigga, if I called my best friends, any one of them right now, and say we was in Hidden Woods, we was you know, we was broke, mm-hmm. but they was like, mom working broke. Mm-hmm. I was mom ain't working broke. Like,
mm-hmm.
So they had a radio, and I remember I used to go to Tamashian's house and be like, yo, can you play Crumbling Herb? Like, nigga, I can recite that word, like that song. Where I 14 years old, listen to that song every day. Didn't smoke weed until I was in my 40s, by the way. But that's
I didn't smoke until I was 35.
Yeah.
But because I was the sober one.
Yeah, like, me too.
But
I like being high though.
It's fine.
Way more fun.
Listen, I'm a lot more calm.
Way more calm.
But the all those moments, and I think that's what a lot of music is missing at this point, right? It's the experience of it. It's the, as much as that song was about smoking weed, it's about niggas killing niggas. They don't understand.
I'm just crumbling.
Like, it's a feeling too. It's still based in feelings.
Yeah, because the crazy part is that it was like, I didn't know what crumbling herb was back then. So you just hear it, almost felt like it's like niggas killing. I'm just crumbling herb, and I'm like,
it must be all right.
It must be some shit you doing, because it's like, nah, I'm just crumbling herb. Y'all niggas is dying. Y'all niggas is crying. Y'all niggas is doing all of this shit.
Yeah.
And nigga, Big Blue, what up, Blue? We talking about Outkast right now, by the way.
Yeah. But what's funny is that, but that's the correlation with like Outkast and Kendrick. It's like, it's still the same.
Same shit.
Same thing.
So I got some, I want to have a little fun. Mm-hmm. So, by the way, I want y'all to know Jack ain't sent nothing. He been sitting here listening.
That's
ain't
funny.
Ain't sent a motherfucking thing. Hold on, let me see. But Jack, I'll be honest with you, I could do this shit in my sleep.
Yeah, when does this air, by the way?
It's coming out Music Month. It's going. We're going to drop these Music Month. Yep.
Okay, so June 14th. Okay, June 14th, I'm doing Funk Fest with Dream and Tip and Lil Jon. So I just need to plug that because...
June 14th, we're going to drop this before June 14th. This
Orlando
is coming out.
Funk Fest.
Yeah, see, I ain't going to lie. I like these, but... Okay, let me see. Everybody give me notes.
Check my note, though.
Okay, I see it. See, KG just told me that. I got you, KG. I got you. Say no more. I got you. No, but so I want to play this game. It's called Making a Cut. I ask you, I'm going to give you three names. Mm-hmm. You have to decide who you want to sign, okay. Who you want to put in development, and who you want to cut.
Okay.
And if you don't want to answer the question, then you have to donate $20 to the Creative Academy. I have nothing to do with us. It's just if the kids eat when somebody doesn't want to answer. Everybody wins.
Everybody wins.
All right, cool. So I'm going to start off easy. See, I got this, Jack. This is some Atlanta shit. Let me get this. I got this. I'm going to start off easy. Atlanta Braves, Atlanta Hawks, Atlanta Falcons.
Okay. Keep the Braves. I mean, sign the Braves. Develop the... Ooh, shit. I just gotta go personal. This ain't statistic. I'ma sign the Falcons. I'ma develop the Hawks. I'ma let the Braves go.
Stay in Marietta.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. We got. I'm saying the Braves. They moved. They left the city.
I know. That's what I thought. I'm like, man.
I'm gonna go somewhere. I'm gonna go somewhere fun. All right. T.I. Young Jeezy. Mm-hmm. Ludacris.
See, this gonna sound fucked up. But again, it's based on my personal taste and
of
how
course.
I ride in my car.
Of course.
Okay. All right. So I'm gonna sign Tip.
You did already.
I'm gonna develop Jeezy.
Hey, you manage him now. You can't fuck that one up.
I'm gonna develop Jeezy, and I'm gonna let Chris go be the superstar that he is.
Got you. Okay. See, I like how you answer. I like how you answer. And he ain't trying to mix it up. All right. LaFace, Arista, Columbia.
Okay. Actually, no. What's funny? LaFace keep.
Of course.
That's LaFace first. Columbia develop. Drop Arista.
Dropping Arista. Why? I'm just curious.
Michael Jackson was in the Columbia system. I mean, on the Sony side. Like, Sade was on Epic. You know what it is? It's the legacy of things that you can work with in that building. And that, you know, and the machine is amazing when it's working.
I got another hard one for you. This is actually probably going to be the hardest one. Organized Noise.
This nigga
JD.
Right,
Dallas Austin. Organized Noise, Dallas Austin, Jermaine Dupri. I think we're going to get some kids some pizza today. I think we're going to get some kids. I think the kids going to get some pizza today, Troy. They going to get some pizza.
What's your
What? What? They get like, it's right there. It ain't got nothing to do with me. It's up on the wall. He put it there. So I'm like, everybody would hit me afterwards and be like, send me the info. It's just 20. No, wait till we ain't finished. We got more to go. We just getting started. We just getting started. All right, cool.
Shit. That was uncomfortable.
Right. Pharrell, Timbaland, Dr. Dre.
Pharrell, Dr. Dre. I'm going to let Timbaland go.
Okay, so you signing Pharrell.
Signing Pharrell.
Better. I'm making it a little easy because this is...
No, that's easy. It's an easy one to sign for me, yeah. Dr. Dre, develop sounds stupid, but yeah, I develop Dr. Dre.
All right.
I'm sorry, yeah, okay.
So I'm gonna switch it up a little. I'm gonna go, I got a few more for you, it's fine. This is gonna be good. Young Bloods.
Okay.
UGK, A-Ball and MJG.
Nigga, stop.
Look at Blue. You think about it, Blue.
You get this, nigga. Okay, you said.
Young Bloods, A-Ball and MJG.
And who was the last one?
And Young Bloods, A-Ball, MJG, and UGK.
I mean, because, you know what? I'm a sign UGK. I'm gonna develop 8 Ball and MJG. And
smart answer. Yeah. Cause you already signed them. You already signed them. And like, nigga, I already showed you. Yeah. I was just trying to not pay $20. Nigga, shut the fuck up. Nigga, I signed you. Bitch, you on cause of me. Nah, all right, cool.
Nobody can feel bad about that.
So I'm gonna go a little, I've never done this one before. I have to ask you this one. I'm gonna go Atlanta group royalty.
Okay.
It's gonna be a little weird because I'm gonna put girls with guys.
That's fine, whatever.
Migos,
okay.
Outkast,
okay.
TLC. These are probably the biggest groups in Atlanta history. Nobody's bigger than them three.
Yeah, no, that was the biggest. So I'm going to sign TLC. I'm going to develop Outkast, and I'm gonna wait till QC signs Migos.
You stay true to LaFace. And
well, if in no TLC, it's no me. Like I got on because of T-Boss.
I love that. That's so real. That's some real shit right there. All right, cool. Oh, this is good. This is a really good one.
One time for Jack.
Oh, you got a couple good ones. This is gonna be good. Southern Playlisted Cadillac Funky Music, AT Aliens, and he wrote Equemini, but Equemini was Outkast's New York album. That was the album that we know Blue was leading.
I wouldn't say that, person.
Equemini was Outkast. Listen, Equemini was Outkast.
It's not true, though.
Listen, I'm going to tell y'all something. When they had Skewed on a Barbie, they had Artist Storytelling with Slick Rick.
I brought both of them. I brought Raekwon at Slick Rick.
Yeah, see? Oh, you brought him to the table. Say Blue. Look at Blue. No, like,
I got you, my nigga. Like.
But.
We can only battle with facts.
Because I ain't going to lie. Because if I wrote it, I would have wrote AT Alien, Southern Playlistic, and then Stankonia. Like, okay. I always skip over the third album because I knew that they was like trying to go big for the. They got Raekwon, they got Slick Rick. Listen, I'm
Raekwon
just telling
was
you.
At Patchwork and we ran into each other and I was like, "Hey man, you want to come to the dungeon right quick?" And he was like, "Yeah." That was literally it happened in Atlanta. Like,
all right. So those are the albums. So okay. Southern Playlist and AT Aliens and Equemini.
That's all Jack. All right, Jack. Southern Playlist sign. You said AT Aliens?
Yep.
Develop AT Aliens and, you know, we're going to let Equemini be Equemini.
I'm just saying, Equemini to me is Outkast. Like, it's a good album, but it's Outkast. It's not their best to me. It's their least best to me. You don't think so? No, it's the. Hold on. I said least best, meaning least best. Like, you can love everything, but if you're the fourth and I love the other three, I love you. I just don't love you like I love the other three. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, listen, if we got to choose one just to say it, because, you know, all of them, like, mean something different to me. But, okay, like you said, it's like, it sounded like they want to go bigger. It ain't that. They just growing, my nigga. Like, as you see more shit, you say more shit. Like, and for people who don't, I distrust them more. Cause at that point you're condescending now.
Me too. I
like
agree.
You're playing me based on you know all this other new shit that's so dope and helpful and you know about CMOS and all this other silly shit that you know like that you found on your journeys. Like tell a nigga.
What? All right, I'm gonna go a little easier. I ain't gonna do that, Jack. I'm gonna go Sierra. Monica, and I'm not gonna say the third name you have. I'm gonna say Pink.
God, you a gangster? You about to get me in a race war?
Only I'm saying that because those are three artists, baby artists, that female R&B artists that started in the city.
Okay, so I gotta start at Pink. I gotta sign Pink because I worked on Pink. I'm gonna develop Monica and let Jazzy develop Sierra.
This nigga is so good. I love this nigga so good. All right, cool. So I'm gonna do a couple more. I'm gonna do two more, two hard ones. Usher, Chris Brown, John Legend.
Kids gonna eat today.
Oh, what up with the kid? All right, good one. Go last one. Last one. Jay-Z, Kanye, Drake. That's easy. We know a song you wrote a hit for. We know we got a hit category in the category for. Let's go.
What? So you said Jay-Z who and
Kanye Drake.
Signed Kanye, developed Jay-Z. I'm gonna let Drake go.
All right, cool. That was making a cut, guys. We're gonna go. We'll take it. And we got $40 for the kids. So
it's too stupid.
So we have this. Oh no, you gotta show us. We. Oh, not me. I don't give a fuck. I mean, like, I know somebody else got it. All right, so KP, we got this. We have this part of this segment of the show that we call credit check, where we give because you know everybody would say give them their flowers, right? I don't like giving flowers because I'm like flowers is what you give someone at their death. Right? That's what it's equivalent to. I like giving people credit because they can leverage that if needed.
Oh, tight.
So who are two or three unsung heroes in Kawan Prather's story that you just feel like I want to shout out?
My uncle, Sweet Pea, who was the first person to buy equipment for us. Unsung. Ian Burke.
Shout out to Ian. He's a Blue Couch alumni. Let's give it up for Ian. We gotta give him that. You know, Ian is the reason why I did that credit check.
Oh, word.
Because what happened was I did Jermaine, and Jermaine said Ian. And Ian took the clip and put it on his Instagram. And I was like, that's dope.
Yeah.
Of JD kind of giving him his credit. Like, yo, shout out to Ian. He did this. So I was like, man, that's dope to give niggas their credit. You know what
Ian
saying?
Was the first A&R person, the person I knew who said they were A&R. And he was a real person. Like, he was around us at the dungeon. He stayed there at times. Like, I got him out of jail once because I used to be a bail bondsman. But it was like very, it was cool to see that he was a person to let me know that, okay, it's kind of smoke and mirrors. Like, people are going to see you how you're introduced to them, right?
Yeah.
Like, if I introduce myself as, I'm KP, senior VP of this and the other. It's gonna make that person think it's something bigger, like The Wiz or some shit.
Yep,
and,
that's so real.
And I just like that his style was, nah, I like that. That would be dope if you did. Like, why don't y'all try? And it was like, it was just a human. It wasn't somebody talking to you with authority.
Like it wasn't somebody like.
Like they right.
Like I'm right, listen to me. It was like a person. I get what you mean.
Yeah.
And you got one more?
You said, oh shit.
You said
mom.
Two.
Oh, no, you said two. I said, Sweet I said Pete, my uncle Sweet Pea and Ian. I can get more?
You get one more if you want.
Rico, wait.
Man, that's careful. And the crazy part that I knew is that, but I was like, it's fucked, but his kids could see this. That's why I like
nah,
this.
No, nah, listen, man, like, people should know that it's not, like, the nigga was a superhero without, like, doing anything super fast. Well, he talked fast. But he didn't run fast. He wasn't the best musician. But he had the best heart, and he recognized everyone despite their flaws. Like, and understood how to use just the best parts of them to make something cool.
You know, a good Rico Way story I tell you is that Teron, when Timothy, this is before I met them, when they came down, they was part of the Dungeon Family. And, you know, they was like, this was like when Future was Meathead, this and all those days. And they was around and, you know, they ran out of money. And they went to Rico and was like, yo, we moving back to the Virgin Islands. We ain't got no money. We trying to figure out. And, you know, Rico was like, yo, look, the music business needs y'all. Y'all can't go back. And he was like, we ain't got no money. And he was like, how much y'all need for the rent for the year? And he paid their rent for the year. Like, that's who he, nothing in return. Yeah. Just y'all are necessary, so I'll eat that cost because that's how necessary you are. Yeah. And to be honest with you, look at them now. Look what we are. If Rico don't do that, there's no telling what happens.
Yeah. So it's like the reason I say unsung, not because he's not revered and respected. It's because the amount of things that he's done for people that he did not accept credit for.
Can you give us one good Rico story? like just one that you feel comfortable sharing?
You know what? You know what? Because I wouldn't want to trivialize it. Because he's a funny guy. Like, he's hilarious.
He was funny as hell, yeah.
And through, but despite the funny shit, it was always serious. It was always very real. Mm. So I don't, you know what? No, I ain't got one. No.
That's cool. Yeah. We love Rico. No, I want to ask you, you've been, to me, King Pivot. If you can write the story, you can write this, KP, King Pivot, that's crazy.
That was tight.
Damn, see, Troy? We got something from this shit. Yeah. I'm glad. Thanks for bringing them, Troy. We got something from this shit. A little takeaway, you know what I'm saying? But I was going to ask you, if you could write the script, your script, the next 10 years, if you could write it, what do you want? What do you want to happen?
Film, like TV show.
Making TV shows, like producing or starring in?
Producing. Okay. Producing and writing. But producing, mainly producing. 10 years. I think that's gonna take 10 years.
Got you.
For me to do it to the level I want to do it.
And the level you want to do it is Tyler Perry, Will Packard, that big level.
Yeah, I would love to do that with a little bit of Norman Lear. You know, because it's still real people TV.
Yeah, we need more real people on TV too.
Yeah, I think everybody's so rich.
Norman Lear, he created the Jeffersons, All in the Family. Jefferson. Yeah, like, you know,
Yeah, but yeah, like I would love to do that, like where you can have shows with honest culture.
Honest culture, I like that. You gotta figure it out, do something with that. That's amazing. All right, last question. Do you consider yourself, so this show is called The God Show. The Gods is an acronym for goats and underdogs. Do you consider yourself a goat or an underdog? Or if you consider yourself an underdog, what do you want to accomplish for you to feel confident to say I'm the goat?
And I don't know if this fucks up your show.
It's a KP answer.
But no, I don't feel like either. I feel like I'm a student. I'm learning every day some new shit, and I want to figure out how to apply it. Like, because I don't think I'm underdog. Like, that'd be silly to say that shit. Just based on the appreciation for the experiences in life I've had up to this point. Mm-hmm. And the GOAT shit is like some relative rap shit.
Mm. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I know exactly where I was at the first time you called me. Nigga, that's not no underdog shit. That's not no student shit. So I want to tell you, you are a GOAT. Let's clap for KP. You are a GOAT.
Appreciate it.
Nigga, receive that shit.
Appreciate it.
Sweater, yes. Oh. I don't know how to say the name, and I don't want to sound stupid.
Okay, that's tight.
I'm gonna say sweeter or sweater. Talk about.
I recently just started managing this kid, Sweater, and I say kid, he's 20 years old, but okay. From Brooklyn, writer, singer, songwriter, artist, producer, but I met him through Ninth Wonder. I was my youngest son lived in North Carolina, so when I'm in North Carolina, I go hang out with Ninth.
Okay, Golden.
Yeah. So no, it's Caden. So one night I went over there, he's playing me these songs, and you know how sometimes you hear some shit and you're like, oh, that's dope, okay, cool, you know, like what you working on vibes. And so he played me this shit, and one of the songs caught me, and I was like, hey man, let me get that, because I was driving back.
Yeah.
So I drove back from North Carolina to Atlanta, and I might have listened to this one song for about 2 hours.
Oh, wow.
And I was just like, it was so many things about it that I loved, the writing, the honesty, like all this shit. And I was like, and listening to it, I thought he was probably like 35. I thought he was a writer. I was like a 35-year-old writer. So I hit Ninth back. I'm like, dude, how old is this dude? 20? Are you bullshitting? Talked to him, met him. He's just and I told Dream this the other day. I'm like, he's early Dream Neo to me.
Like, he's an R&B artist.
He's a great writer. He's an R&B artist, but he's a songwriter.
Kind of want to say, listen to a rap song over and over. But I'm like, damn, a rap. I want to hear it now still. But I'm like, a rapper had you like that? But R&B could get you like that because there's so much emotion in it. You could.
Well, but the other part is he writes like a rapper. Like, he actually, like, that's the underlying for me is like, it's not simp music, and it's not overly tough. It's not like I am a superhero. Yeah. But it's just honest.
It's true. Thoughts. It's real. True.
Yeah.
And that's what music needs, by the way. And if there's one lesson anybody can learn from this, if you're trying to be in music, is you got to tell the truth. You should tell the truth. You don't have to.
You know.
But you can lie, but then you're going to have to maintain that lie for a very long time.
Yeah. If you're talking about yourself and you lie, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
If you're telling a story, hey, you know.
Yeah, of course, different.
But,
yeah.
No, but listen, you're right. Like, don't. Coming into anything under a false pretense is going to be fucked up for you.
Going to back you in the corner. Because now they're going to say, show me that you're that.
Yeah.
And if you're not that, not only that, I don't think people realize how much we can recognize. I can look at you and see and be like, okay.
Yeah. Listen, man, what I believe now, right? And there's some DJ shit too, right, by the way. Like, people don't always say what they don't like or what they do like, but their movement will show you. Like, I can play a song and watch the floor, and if it goes from this to, you know, it's these different things that people do when they recognize things that touch them. So it's like, you know, when you go to the club and the shit drop, and everybody go, hey, that hit. That's what a hit is to me. It's like when it hits somebody. And you know, most artists who do really well understand that. They understand that if I say this, like, what's my opening line? If I don't get the people in the room who've heard dope songs before to go, then it's not it.
I learned that. Well, my A&R lesson was the first four bars of the rap song are the most important. And I learned that lesson right when your guys, Young Bloods, they called me. They come back to the streets to Sean P. And I was like, it's true. To all the ladies in the place with style and grit. Like, it was like,
little bitch, you can't fuck with me.
If you, like, the first four bars of a rap record are the most important. It sets the stage for everything else. That was a lesson I learned in 2002 when I was coming up. But thanks for being on the show, brother.
Hey, man, thanks for having me.
I hope that y'all enjoyed this conversation. Shout out to our sponsors, Tote and Carry, Two Laws, and Yoko Vodka. It's Polo Vodka, by the way.
Polo.
Shout out to Polo.
Like Jermaine said, Polo.
Polo. What Donald Pulo. Trump said. Shout out to my friend Polo in here.
Polo the Don.
I'm the only Don, but he's a Don too. Yeah. But that's another story. But anyway, man, thanks you for being on the show. Thank you for watching. Are a GOAT. You are goated now. You can't say you're not no more. You're on the Goats and on the Dog show, and we just crowned you. So I might have a dog. I wish I had a student goat here for you. You a student goat.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's what it was. A student.
Well, right. Man, shout out to everybody watching. Shout out to y'all. This is the God Show. We are out.
Peace.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.